they are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, penny cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, we discuss national, local, and very local Native issues and events here on Native Roots Radio. And as you all know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all your COVID-19 questions.
Well, Wendy, we're both wearing a little orange here. And
Kitty's wearing orange, too.
Yes.
Lucy's wearing an orange bandana around her back.
And does Lucy know what that represents?
I whispered it in her ear.
Okay. So we're wearing this for all the missing children, mm-hmm. Wendy, and it's become a big thing in all over Turtle Island and Canada, and I'm sure Ogama is going to talk about this, but I just wanted to read this before we get to Ogama with mm-hmm. the news.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find it right now because... Mm-hmm.
Is it the story about the little girl who was sent to the residential school, and she had an orange shirt on that she was very excited to wear that day. And then when she was taken into the residential school, they took her orange shirt off her. She never saw it again, and it really...
Yeah, her name was Phyllis, mm-hmm. and she arrived at the residential school, like you said, Wendy, and her clothing was stripped from her and her hair cut. The color orange reminds Phyllis of her experience at the residential school and her own words on what reminded of her, how my feelings didn't matter, how no one cared, and I felt that I was worth nothing. All of us little children were crying, and no one cared. September 30th marks the day when Indigenous children were stolen from their families and forced into schools at the start of the school year. The day in color commemorates the heartbreaking legacy and trauma of the boarding school and residential schools, and it's a national day for truth and reconciliation. It's a very somber time, and I just wanted to read this before we get to Heather Keeler put this up on her Facebook, and it mm-hmm. says, every First Nation person you know is either a survivor of residential schools, a child of a survivor, a grandchild of a survivor, or all three. Please read that again and let it sink in. Mm-hmm. We are going to Ogama with the news. And as you know, we're the only place that I know of that talks 5 days a week about what's happening all over Turtle Island mm-hmm. and with Indigenous and Native people all over the country and world.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Aneem Bujou, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe here on this very somber day of truth and reconciliation. Some people think of this day as a little bit celebratory in the fact that we are bringing to light this issue that has been hidden from history books in all over the North American continent, not just in the U.S. and not just in Canada. But as you were talking, Robert and Wendy, about Phyllis Webstad, who's the residential school survivor whose story inspired Orange Shirt Day, which is today, it's really important to remember she's only 54 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She's not an elderly person. This is not something that our ancestors went through that, you know, we are... blowing out of proportion or something because it happened such a long time ago. And I for one, as a Native person, I am excited for this day of truth and reconciliation only because that's what we're asking for. We're asking for our government officials and education systems to tell the truth about what happened. and to acknowledge and, you know, apologize for those things. We all know that nobody can go back and take those things back. But the fact that it is consistently ignored, that this is not something that's taught in schools, that this is not something that even the Catholic Church and everything that they've done to our people through these residential and boarding schools is acknowledged whatsoever as well. I mean, it's to give us the space to be able to fully grieve and to acknowledge and to take that time every year. I mean, the United States has Holocaust Remembrance Day, and the Holocaust did not happen on U.S. soil officially, even though we were involved in the war, and yet they cannot for the life of them step forward and say, hey, this is something that happened here that we need to take responsibility for. And that's really what Orange Shirt Day and the National Day of Reconciliation is really all about, is that remembrance, is that recognition for the damage that boarding schools or sometimes residential schools have done, and the long-lasting trauma as the result of those policies in both the United States and Canada. And it's really important for all of us to share the ways survivors and their loved ones can really heal from this painful past. And to work on that means reconciliation. It means healing together. It means honoring our pain and dedicating time and attention to honoring our pain, our grief, our outrage, and our sorrow at the fact that now there's been 6,300 and some children found between the U.S. and Canada. I mean, 6,000 children. I mean, can we stop and think about that for a minute? And they have only searched a little over 100 of the 1,000 schools that existed on this continent. And we can't even get media news coverage for this. I mean, this is, I'm so at a loss, Robert, Wendy, and Lewis. I mean, I'm so at a loss. And I know that it's been a hard day for all of us. I've been in tears twice today. And it's a great day for personal healing and for familial healing and to educate your children and the people you know about that. But as allies, we ask you on this day to please reach out to the resources that you have available. That phone in your pocket contains all the information in the world, and for you to do your part in reconciliation and to learn what the truth is about boarding schools. So it's really just amazing and helpful when we have our allies who can do those things for us on this day.
Let's check in with Lewis.
Yeah, I want to say how matakuyapi ampetu wakiksuye ampetu wakiksuye and all of our children are wakanye japi. And I say this in Lakota for all the ancestors that kept our language. And I remember today, and I'm so emotional talking about this because I've been thinking about this a lot today about my grandfather, Jacob Donates Horses. And he's a survivor of St. Francis Indian School. And the only couple of stories I heard from him is that he ran away from boarding school more than once and got punished for it because they told him to stop speaking Lakota. And they stopped and they told him that he's going to change his name and all these other things. And so many of our relatives have gone through all that. And for us to be here today, to be able to speak our indigenous languages, we are the voices of that resilience in their hearts, that resilience in their blood. And we remember all of them. We remember the victims of the boarding schools. And we remember the survivors of boarding schools, because of the survivors laid a legacy for us to be here on Native Roots Radio. They made a legacy for us to talk about the atrocities that the United States government in Canada still refuses to acknowledge today, with their politicians that don't want to talk about it. Truth and Reconciliation Commission happened in Canada. We need it in the United States. This should be foundational for every ally to talk about truth and reconciliation when it comes to boarding schools in the United States, Mesoamerica, Central South America, everywhere.
Wow. Well said, Lewis. Wow. This is a heavy day, and we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to have one of our big allies, Wisconsin State Senator Jeffrey Smith, on next, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with the wolf hunt there in Wisconsin and also whatever he wants to talk about. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota the original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're always excited to drop in with Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith. Jeff is a great ally, and we're just always pleased to have Jeff on. And Jeff, I was in Madison yesterday playing golf with your governor. Good to see you.
And you didn't pick me up, Robert, and take me along. I could have caddied for you.
Yeah. It's great seeing you. I did mention to him, and he's getting a lot of flack about the wolf hunt. I did mention it to him, and I said, you know, wolves are our relatives, and as you know, and we're you know, a lot of nations, including Ho-Chunk Nation's clan, is a wolf clan, and they are sacred animals to us. You know, your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say a couple things quick. I'm going to say, every time I get on this show and I get the opportunity to listen to those first 15 minutes or so, you all do such an amazing job speaking to your listeners, because I feel like you're speaking directly to me. And that is so important. I had to go and put on my orange shirt after once I started to listen, and I realized what an important day this was. And thank you for letting others know. When we talk about wolves, currently there actually is a bill that we just came through my committee the other day. Was on the floor on Tuesday. And originally I was a sponsor of this bill along with many other good people, because it was a bill about treatment of animals, and particularly dogs. And just before it came to the floor, it was amended to exempt dogs for bear hunting and wolf hunting and the hunters that use them. And I know they're going to hate when I say this, but I had my name removed from the bill, as did some other people, and voted it down. And it's so unfortunate that a good bill had to be. One of my colleagues said, you know, apparently according to this bill, you can't be cruel to animals except under certain circumstances. And that's wrong. And that's just unfortunate that happened. And so The wolf hunt. You know, we have in Wisconsin, I'm sorry, you know how I am. You know how I am, Robert and Wendy. I start on a roll here.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so the wolf hunt in Wisconsin got a really and deserved bad press this past year when a judge, let's start with the group called Hunter Nation out of Kansas, who filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin challenging the DNR's decision to not immediately resume the hunt. Well, the DNR, of course, is our wildlife management council, and they of course I do believe they do their job professionally and well, but unfortunately they're always under the edict of the legislature and courts, and they are sometimes handcuffed. And in this case, they were handcuffed by the fact that the wolves were delisted, and that the legislature passed legislation that demanded they had to have a hunt. Well, they were planning a hunt, but they were trying to do it in an appropriate way and not have that hunt until the fall, which is normal procedure. But then this group called Hunter Nation came in, filed a lawsuit, and forced them to have a hunt in February. I think it was even like a week after the decision, and gave the DNR really no time to be ready for what happened. And as you know, probably know, and most people are paying attention to Wisconsin at that time know, it was shameful. So they had a quota set at 119. It was supposed to be like a 4-day hunt. The season lasted only 2 days because they actually hit 218 killed, by far exceeding the number that they were supposed to reach. And of course, all the stories that came out of that were so heartbreaking with the way those wolves were killed, how they were trapped, how they were run down. And it's really sad. And one more thing that also, thanks to your show, and I hear the ads, and I hear the Minnesota ad of wolves howling. Wolves are proven to be the real wildlife management managers in nature, and it's too bad we don't recognize that as a people.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very sad. And it was actually a bloodbath that happened in Wisconsin those 2 days. And it really was devastating to a lot of people who, you know, love wolves and want wolves to be around. You know, I saw a video it had a cow carcass, a dead cow carcass, and they had roped fence around the carcass with flags, red flags around this carcass, and they had a camera watching the carcass to see what would happen, what would the wolves do with this roped fence and flags on it. And the carcass was there for 2 weeks, and this cam recorded dozens of wolves walking past the carcass, but never entering the roped fence with the flags on it, because that is a deterrent to the wolves. And we could use very simple, non-lethal ways to keep our wolves with us. And I just wish more people would realize that.
That's really interesting, Wendy. It's it's like anything else, that when we put our minds to it, we can come up with solutions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, just a simple solution, 4 posts and some rope with flags on them, blowing in the breeze, that deterred the wolves. And ranchers are worried about their cattle, and all they need to do is use some rope and some flags and use other sound devices and lighting and things like that, non-lethal measures to protect their cattle. So upsetting to a lot of people, it really is. But I'm glad, and I really appreciate you and your thoughtfulness about it. So thank you.
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's I guess what comes to mind for people like myself and others is it isn't about sportsmanship. Mm-mm. Or any of that. It's about the need to kill.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong reason entirely.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're here with Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith, who we're talking about the wolf hunt. And
yeah, there's supposed to be another wolf hunt come November.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're watching and we're worried and we're trying to do our best to stop it. So.
So, well, I don't know how much time I have left here, but to quickly explain, that wolf hunt coming up is unfortunately politicized by the fact that we have a Natural Resources Board, which advises the DNR, and the president of that has refused to step down despite the fact that his term ended and the governor appointed someone else, and the state Senate, led by Republicans, have refused to acknowledge the new appointee, so this person stays on, and they have overridden recommendations of the DNR for the next wolf hunt, so it's not looking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody just needs to call Deb Haaland, give her a call and email her and plead with her to ask her to help the wolf and also President Biden.
Yes, we need to relist that. That was something that happened, Senator Smith, when Trump was in, that he delisted these. And
One of the last negative things he did before he left. That's what he did.
Well, hey, we got a minute and a half left, Senator Smith, and I want you to just free fall whatever you want to talk about before we let you go. This went really quick, as always.
Yeah, free flow. Well, we have a lot happening in Wisconsin. The focus right now is on redistricting reform, and I know I've talked about that on this show and everywhere I go, actually, how important it is to everyone, and to tribes who have never felt or been represented in the state legislature. This is the only opportunity that we have to remedy that by making sure that communities of interest are served. That's in the Constitution, but hardly ever followed, and so that everyone has a voice in the legislature. So I really think that's important to pay attention to.
Wow. And what are you going to be working on next?
That's my focus right now, is redistricting reform. But we have also introduced bills for higher education to make it affordable. But also on top of it, in the next month, we're going to be introducing a number of bills. I'm on the climate task force, and my colleague Greta Neubauer and I are going to be introducing bills that were recommended by the task force but refused to be acknowledged by the Joint Finance Committee. And so watch for that in about a month from now.
Well, keep up the good fight, and we really always appreciate you on, Senator Smith. And what we really, really appreciate, and I've seen this in Black River Falls, how much you support our Ho-Chunk people and our Native people and just doing the right things. Pinigigi for being on.
Thank you.
Hey, wow, that was awesome. We'll be right back after the short break with Robert Lilligren.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Ryan here with locally owned Snap Construction. Hey, too much snapping. I have an important message. Roofing, siding, insulation, and window material rates have come down considerably. Production is up. Best of all, there's still time to lock in one of the many great city, state, and federal home fix-up loans with rates as low as 0%. Some cities are even offering no repayment until you sell or refi. We don't expect these programs to last much longer. Snap to it and set up your no-obligation inspection quote for your roofing, siding, windows, or insulation job today. Your Snap Construction remodel expert can lay out all the options for your roofing, siding, window, insulation project, along with all rebates, incentives, and federal, state, and city financing programs that you qualify for. Call Snap Construction today, home of the Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. For over the last decade, we are arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, insulation contractor in the Twin Cities. Don't take our word for it. Google us. Snapconstruction.com, 612-333-SNAP.
Hey, Patrick here for Zero Res. Parents, your kids are probably now back in school, but you've also been noticing how much dirt they dragged into the house over the summer, and they made it stink too, didn't they? Well, no matter if your kids are home for online classes or back in the classroom, it's finally time to clean up the summer mess. And my cleaning heroes at Zero Res are here to help. Zero Res will take care of your tiles, carpet, upholstery, area rugs, and pet odors from that summer of fun that just ended. And they can get the yuck out of your air ducts, too. Lucky for you, Zero Res has big savings for you this September. Get back to clean and get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated and cleaned for just $149 and take $50 off any air duct cleaning package. You owe it to yourself and your home to get back to clean this fall. Call my friends at Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or schedule your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and host of The Bradcast. Weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 64, Friday showers and storms with a high near 76, and Saturday partly cloudy with a high near 73. And right now, Zero Res has a fall special where you can get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated and cleaned starting at just $149, plus take $50 off any air duct cleaning. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call. 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it spells the same.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, there's 2 things I want to mention before we get to Robert Lilligren. Yeah. First, or 3 things. I love Senator Smith's positive energy.
It's awesome.
Great ally in Wisconsin. And I also want to give a shout out to Lewis Eagle Thunder for the great graphics in between. He's got new graphics in between our commercials. And if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, right on. Great job, Lewis. And
then it's an incentive to watch us more on Facebook.
Right on. And I just want to say this, too. The term residential schools is a whitewash of history. They were concentration camps. They were extermination camps. Language, religions, names, histories, an entire culture was exterminated. Yeah. So, you know, it's been a heavy show so far today. We're talking about our sacred animals, the wolves, and the wolf hunt in Wisconsin, and also what today represents. I want to introduce Robert Lilligren, Director of Native American Community Development Institute, NADCI, here in the Twin Cities. And we always like to have Robert stop in and talk about local stuff, what's happening in the Twin Cities area, but he also has a really good grip on what's happening national. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour, Ndamukong Duck. Well, thanks for having me. Nice to see you, Robert, Wendy, Lewis. Ogama. I was wondering who did those graphics. They've been getting more and more intricate and interesting over time. So I concur with Robert. Good work, Lewis.
Thank you. You know, we're trying to get incentives to people watch the show and look at our pretty faces. You know, that matters, you know.
I like that. Yeah, I've been working with my set and lighting a little bit here. I feel
great.
Like I may be a little overlit.
No, you look good.
I'll keep trying. Thanks.
You have a great orange shirt on, we can tell that. And then you have a beautiful background. You're out in the country, it looks like.
No, I'm in right the South Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue. This is about my house. I'm right on my front patio.
No, I was just kidding you. So, hey, lot going on. A lot going on today. A lot of emotions flying. We've been very emotional here on Native Roots Radio. What's your feeling, and what have you done today? I know there's stuff going on all around.
Yeah, there is a lot going all around. So, and it's been kind of an emotional day just in conversations that weren't about boarding schools or concentration camps, as you accurately called them. And, you know, just as emotion churning in the community. Today was our Four Sisters Farmers Market Day at NACD right outside Powell Grounds on Franklin, the American Agricultural Corridor. And it was like a sea of orange there, you know, which was something. Last week, we had a really impressive and solemn march that was led by Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in South Minneapolis and their visionary CEO, Marissa Cummings. And it was about 1,000 people in orange t-shirts marching in advance of today, but in recognition and to honor the victims and survivors. So it's been kind of solemn, and I will say it's been something, a bit of relief maybe around having this conversation in public, being able to sort of publicly express solidarity and support. It's different than we've done in the past, and to bring awareness of the boarding school system, the torturous boarding school system, of which my grandmother and her aunts were victims, survivors, but to the bringing awareness to the broader community, right? I mean, how many non-Native friends have said to you recently, I didn't know any of that happened.
Yeah.
You know, so here's an opportunity to elevate the suffering of our ancestors and to hopefully bring about some, healing, reconciliation.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Robert, that I've noticed today more so than any other day is, you know, what Hitler did in Nazi Germany to exterminate the Jewish population and the 5 million that were gassed and killed and murdered in Germany. I can really see that with today and what that statement I read. I mean, it really... the light bulb really hit off, and I went, here it is right here.
Yeah, when Hitler and the Nazis quoted Lincoln-era policy, U.S. policy, in the extermination of indigenous people as a foundation for their final solution for the extermination of Jews. I mean, that's a connection that's literal, you know.
Yeah, it's powerful, and especially a day like today. I know Ogama has been really emotional and, you know, bringing new life to the world that she's going to be doing. And what kind of world are you bringing your baby to? It's always a question we have to ask ourselves and be at pause with, Robert.
Yeah, hats off to you, Ogama, and anything that I can do or we can do to support you. And, you know, you're bringing a life into a world of constant change, but in the Native world, you know, it's a time of growth, enlightenment, young leadership like yourself emerging. It's to me, as a Native person, it's actually a little more hopeful now than, say, when you and I were youngins, Robert.
Right, and I know we have talked about it, but it's up and down emotionally, but you're absolutely right, because we are talking about this. And we have 1,000 people showing up for marches that in solidarity that we didn't have many times, you know. So that was an amazing, and Wendy can agree with me on this. I had major FOMO the last couple of days about going to the corridor because I've been busy doing my other job. It's been hard for me to get out, but yeah, I had FOMO on that last march for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll happen again, so there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to be involved. But it was really impressive, and we needed that. You know, we needed that community time. Yeah, I'll tell you, I got there a little early. I was going to help set up and stuff, but the folks from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center had it all going on. They didn't need my help, but it gave me an opportunity to just check in with people. Some of them I haven't really talked to in a year and a half, you know. Right. Been in community with them, and that's just so energizing.
Yeah, I had that experience. We had a general council that the community called a couple weeks ago, and it was outdoors. It was a beautiful thing. I'd ran into relatives I haven't seen, like I said, in 2 years, a year and a half, but I also ran into relatives I've never met before, and it was I feel like it always gets the darkest before sunrise, and hopefully it's hitting that. And I listened to the news here before we came on, and they were talking about all these businesses that are mandating vaccines now, and that hopefully will help us get going, because I know a good friend of ours has COVID, and she was really sick one day because she was vaccinated, Wendy, and mm-hmm. she was sick one day. And then she's gotten better since. And I think if it wasn't for the vaccine or her taking the vaccine, she would have been very, very, very sick.
Right. Yeah. I've known a few Native women in leadership here that were hospitalized. Two of them, very high profile women in the community, were hospitalized. They were vaccinated. You know, it was breakthrough infections. And the thing about vaccine mandates is they work. Right, people actually get vaccinated when they have to, you know, and I would think people would want to. For me, it's never been about really protecting my health. It's about protecting the health of the people around me, you know.
Right.
But all of these employers that are mandating, it really works. It makes people safer.
Yeah. So I was having a discussion, maybe we can talk about that a little the next segment because we only have a few minutes left in this, but I was talking to somebody about, you and I have this little discussion once in a while, and I was talking about somebody where things would not be happening for Native Americans in Minnesota if it wasn't were for our politicians, and especially our lieutenant governor. And I was telling them about, you know, can you say some specific examples? Because I only thought of a few, but I know the funding, I know Minnesota Indian Women's, the new
MIW Work Task Force.
Yeah. And things like that.
Yeah.
That would be happening if it wasn't for our indigenous women in politics.
And that's a huge one. As far as we know, Minnesota has the first dedicated office to research and generate responses to missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And so that's groundbreaking on its own. And as you know, Robert, because I believe you're going to be part of it, we will soon host a forum with the Lieutenant Governor through our Make Voting a Tradition, and I believe you're part of it, and where she'll be able to talk about some of the accomplishments. And she is really proud of things that she was able to advocate for and support into the budget that support Native people. What was it, the first MFEB increase in, I can't remember how many years, 20, 25 years, something. I know that she's very proud of that, and she worked very hard and advocated for that. Through our Make Voting a Tradition project at NACD, as you know, we encourage year-round political involvement, not just voter outreach, involvement in census, involvement in redistricting, like the senator was just talking about. And another is to hold our electeds accountable and to be in relationship with elected people. And so this effort with the lieutenant governor that's happening next week, no, week after next, is an opportunity to do just that. And she's going to talk about these things that she's very proud of that sometimes don't get, you know, enough sunlight or enough air time because of a lot of the more critical things, you know, less pleasant things, more difficult things. So I'm looking forward to hearing directly from Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan about what she's most proud of.
Do you have time to do another segment with us?
Sure, happy to. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren, director of NADCE. And also, I just want to say that one of the bills that they passed that like 8 or 9 indigenous Native American organizations got funding. And, you know, it was great to see because we don't have to fight over funding. And it was very, very, very good. So we'll be right back after this short break. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Haluza Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
I heard Robert Lillard, and that was awesome. No wolf pop-up, huh, Lewis?
So, man, I got so much new stuff in the little section there, I couldn't find it in time.
Got to delete some of that old stuff. I know. Hey, before we get back to Robert Lilligren, director of Native American Community Development Institute, NADCE, I want to wish Wendy a happy 1 year of retirement. We were just talking about that. She's been retired for 1 year, I seem like I've been working harder than I ever have in my life. And wow. But congratulations, Wendy.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we're back here with Robert Lilligren. And Robert, let's talk a little bit of what's going on nationally and maybe what's going on Franklin Avenue. This is your time to shine. So let's hear it. Oh, popo.
Cool. Yeah, just going by on Franklin here.
That's Franklin Avenue.
Oh, yeah, there's always something happening on Franklin. Yeah, I appreciate it. Congratulations, Wendy, on your retirement. And
thank you.
Just kind of echo, what Robert said. The busiest people I know are retired people.
I've been kind of lazy the last year, but I've been working on a few things, but we'll see.
Good for you. Cool. Well, one thing, Robert, I was hoping we could just touch on. And this builds on what we talked about and before the close of the last segment, and that was about the legislature. And you brought up the fact that working collaboratively, mm-hmm. about six or seven urban native orgs from four different cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Bemidji, mm-hmm. Were all given direct allocations from the legislature. And that was a huge accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And under the leadership of Dr. Joe Hobart at the American Indian OIC, an education institution and high school here, he's been leading this effort. And so this year, they're expanding the work. It's got a name now. We're calling it the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. ULI is the acronym. And it's about 19 organizations coming together, identifying all of the capital needs across these organizations, and then prioritizing them, and then approaching the legislature in one combined voice. Mm. So we're not sort of all competing with each other at the legislature. We're not promoting our projects over others. We're doing the legislature's work, so they don't have to prioritize, pick winners and losers. Right. And I bring it up because tomorrow we start our round of visits, meetings with some of the key legislators.
Oh, great.
So groups of us will be meeting over the next few weeks with a lot. We have a lot of these meetings scheduled. But to promote this idea of the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, led by Dr. Joe Hobart at American Indian OIC. And it's a big deal. If a community can come together, 19 orgs, and decide to set aside the yoke of the colonizer that teaches us to be in competition with each other, right. and instead indigenize our way of being together so that we are mutually supportive, it's a game changer. And I expect that we'll have some success and that we'll continue to grow on that success.
Right. That sounds like a strong group. And, you know, I know, for instance, like our friend Kelly Miller and those guys, they had to move out of their place on Summit Avenue, and they'll be looking for help from anyone with their new building. So that's really exciting, Interfaith. There's a lot of organizations out there, and I know that's just exciting because I know people get hurt when people get this and that, and to have an organization speak for us, that sounds brilliant, as a matter of fact. And I like the name. It would go good on a t-shirt.
It would. When we first started, we came together, I think there were maybe five or six organizations. This is 6 or 7 years ago when I was still interim CEO at Little Earth of United Tribes. And we came together to start, you know, figuring out how to be supportive of each other and collaborative when we're seeking funds. And I think we called ourselves the Fabulous Five organizations? And then that grew and it grew and it grew until it was 19 organizations that are involved in this very targeted, specific, collaborative work. And it just feels good to be part of something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I know for me, I like to put Lewis on the spot and he's so quick, but I'm wondering if you have a question for Robert.
Yeah, Robert, you know, it's so awesome to hear you come on the show and talk about these things, because I think the older I get, the more I realize that crab in the bucket mentality we have as Indian people, right, is so hindering to all of us, right? And to have people like you and a lot of other Indigenous leadership, not only at Twin Cities, but nationwide, do amazing things together, it really solidifies the idea that we got to stop this infighting stuff and start unifying together. No matter if we have problems with people, you know, we could be upset at each other, right? And we could be upset at each other's propositions. You know, I know that, you know, as you know, Peggy Flanagan's getting all this flack with Line 3 and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, she's still our sister. She's still our relative, right. You know, and I want to acknowledge that even though we can disagree with things, that she is still holds that sacred space to us as family. And one thing I want to shout out before it gets too late, and I'll be really quick here for 5 seconds, is that the Defense Authorization Act that was passing in the United States House of Representatives Thursday includes the Remove the Stain Act that I've been talking about. That actually got me on the show to begin with. And it's a stain to remove 20 medals of honors for killing my direct relatives. I'm a direct descendant of a survivor of Wounded Knee. And it's such an emotional day.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm having a hard time talking about this, but I'll keep it short. I think it's great. Shout out to Kahili, Democrat from Hawaii, as well as Sharice Davis, who are the ones pulling it forward. Shows you what unity could do, Roberts, Bobby's.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and beautifully, beautifully yeah. said. And, you know, that sort of crabs in the bucket or, you know, lateral oppression, however we want to name it. It's so prevalent. And I even, you know, I work with some incredible, incredibly talented young Native professionals. And I can even see it percolating up in these people who, you know, are very well educated, very well with lots of professional experience. But it's always there, you know. So it's always a reminder to me, you know, where does it come out in me? You know, I got to always be monitoring for that and behaving in a different way. But yeah, it's a new day. I like it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because when I was at the presidential forum in Iowa, there was an elder who was a World War II vet who was, she was like, close to 100 years old, asked that question about the stain to every one of the Stain Act to every one of the politicians. So, yeah, Lewis, I forgot. That's how you got on the show. It's like, yeah, I know about that because that lady asked the question every time. But Robert, we're gonna end the show here. But we really appreciate all you do and the light that you bring to our show. We couldn't do this show without great regulars like yourself. Really, we couldn't. Yeah, it'd be so very hard. Kind.
It's always a pleasure. It's great to spend time with y'all.
Wow, that was Robert Lilligren, Wendy, NATCE director, and I don't know. It was a good show. It was a good emotional show. Robert, we missed out. I think Ogama's not naming her daughter Robert, so we're missing out.
I tried not even a Bobby. She's not even going Bobby.
Serious, Roberta?
No, not doing it. So we missed out. But I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'd like to thank State Senator from Wisconsin, Jeff Smith, and of course, Robert Lilligren for being on, Wendy for being my sidekick, and Ogama for the news, and Lewis for being the all-around utility guy that he is with us, that we can throw any question to him, and he comes up with it. It's awesome. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.